Hey, Smart Firefighting community. Welcome to a 10-part miniseries from the show floor from the Fire Rescue International show, hosted by the International Association of Fire Chiefs in Kansas City. You will hear from entrepreneurs, fire chiefs, and thought leaders from across the fire service talking about challenges, change management, and the future of technology. So many good stories in this episode, and I hope you enjoy. We are sitting here live at the FRI show in Kansas City, day one, alongside Brent Faulkner, the owner and CEO of Virtual CRR. Brent, how you doing?
Great. Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate it.
In your words, in lay terms, what is community risk reduction?
Excellent question. So to me, honestly, community risk reduction is the fire service. I mean, it's the fire service in its entirety. When we think about our jobs, our job is to reduce the risk to our community through lots of different ways. You know, obviously we respond on calls. That's our operations. That's our baseline 911 system. But we also do other things, you know, and that's a large part of community risk reduction is operations. But we also go out and with public and we're examples to them. We teach them. We help them to be able to reduce their own risk. So in a nutshell, that's what community risk reduction is all the different activities that we can look at of how we can reduce that risk or reduce that call, either from coming in the first place or reduce the severity of that call or reduce the time frame from when that call initially happened to our customer is back up and running as good to normal as possible.
And I heard you say the word all hazards. And when thinking about community risk reduction in this sense, I mean, we're in the fire service in general, it's not just fires. You know, it is thinking about everything that could go wrong, man-made or natural disasters that happen. But when kind of looking at this all hazards perspective from a community risk reduction angle, tell me about some of the, kind of like, tell me about in even kind of the virtual CRR angle, how does virtual CRR kind of plug into this realm? And maybe you can even give some context in virtual CRR's angle about how virtual CRR plays into the role of all hazards risk reduction.
Yeah, absolutely. So all hazards. So for those that don't know, I have a background in fire service. I've been in the fire service for 26 years now. All of that's been on the West Coast, and we've been all hazards for that whole time, basically. So all hazards is definitely where the fire service is going. When it comes to community risk reduction, that plays right in to all hazards, because the first step in actually determining, you know, what we should be doing as a department is we need to do a community risk assessment. What are the risks to our communities? Do we have a wildfire risk? Do we have a flooding risk? Do we have a hurricane risk? Do we have a falls risk because we have an elder adult population? So really, that's one of the first steps, is identifying what those risks are, because you're right, we are an all-risk department, but we need to identify what are the greatest risks to our personal community. Once we've identified what those risks are, then we can start putting plans into action of how we can, you know, combat those risks. Virtual CRR standpoint, we are kind of that education wing for you, between you and your community. So we all know that rarely do we reach over 5% of our community through 911 calls, or even the going out and doing the different community fairs and those types of things. So we have a huge proportion of our community that the fire department never even touches. And that's the bridge that I'm trying to reduce, is that bridge to those people that we never even reach out to. So what Virtual CRR does, basically, we help the department to come up with a survey initially that goes out. That survey can be anything regarding any risk that you might have, whether it's home safety risk for fires, whether it be a wildland risk, hurricanes, falls prevention, earthquakes. And what we do is we start off with that survey so that we can understand the mindset of your community. And once your community, once we understand that, they've gone through a list of maybe 10 questions. We're teaching them the information that they need based on those questions. So as a home safety assessment question would be, you know, smoke alarms. Do you have working smoke alarms in the house? If they answered yes, the information they would receive would be good videos, you know, explaining the why behind it, where they should be installed, all those types of things, so that they can understand their own risk and they can fix their own risk. That's really what we're looking at, is we're looking for community engagement so that the community can reduce their own risk.
And if you don't know, you don't know,
right?
Which means you can't actually put any sort of plan in place to address this problem. But so the survey in this community assessment, risk assessment, is sort of step one to really understanding and kind of looking yourself in the mirror about answering these, and I don't want to say hard questions, but these real questions to then ideally put some sort of plan in action to reduce the risk. Give me the example, you know, maybe from a wildfire perspective in terms of how would the community go about, you know, doing an assessment, and then sort of what would be some of the CRR type steps that you could take to, as you mentioned, reduce the severity of the risk, reduce the chance of the call happening, or any type of overall risk reduction there.
So I think wildfire is the perfect example for community risk reduction. There's lots of examples out there, but this is a good one. When we're talking about wildfire, we're never going to solve this problem without community involvement and without community buy-in and community engagement. We can pass a whole bunch of laws. When they first build the house, those are great, but unfortunately we know that most states don't have the right to go in and inspect and enforce any type of a law once the property has been sold. So we need to have that community buy-in. We need to have those community partners. And we can do that through lots of ways. And obviously virtual CRR program is one of those ways, but we can do it through community engagement programs as well. So walking through what the process looks like, you know, we can target those areas within our community that we know have those wildfire areas that were very prone to high hazard. Once we've done that, we can target those areas with information and really get out there in the community and explain to them, helping them. We can also partner with our business communities, our church communities, those types of things to get the same messaging out. A lot of times we need to have those community partners so that we can get into the homes, because initially people, they're either lackadaisical about their own safety or they just are not trusting of government maybe. So by having those partnerships, we're really able to get in and make those partnerships and make those differences within our community.
Yeah, and the community support is so important, but still, if it's never really been done, or maybe if a disaster hasn't really hit them, they're maybe a little complacent. But two questions. I mean, how do you get someone to evolve and change if they've never really done it before? And then ultimately, how do you get that community support to start being proactive about community risk reduction?
So I really like the moniker, information is power. And once people understand what their situation is, we're truly looking for that change of heart, that they'll be able to look to themselves and say, I need to do something. And if we haven't demonstrated the need to our community, that's really where it starts. You know, we've identified what the need is. Now we need to make sure that we explain what that need is to the community. Because like you said, if you don't know, you don't know. A lot of people go through life that's not high on their priority list. For a lot of our families, you know, just putting food on the table is their number one priority, and shelter becomes their number two priority. So safety, unfortunately, takes a back seat when we have multiple generations in the home, sometimes multiple families within the same home. And as well as we have, you know, people coming from outside of our communities in, and we're trying to help them to assimilate so that they can help themselves. So those are all things that we need to look at. And that's the way that we do it, is we identify to them and point out that need and then provide the resources for them so that they can go out and make those changes.
So I'm sitting here at the booth alongside you, and I see the virtual home safety assessment card, and just kind of putting in myself in the shoes of a fire department that's maybe thinking about it or maybe never really thought about this, but how would they use this kind of tool? Like, what's an onboarding process? And I know it's sort of this dynamic survey and then generating info and doing with it, but explain it in your words about your fire department, you're at step one and you want to start moving on being proactive with community risk reduction. How would they sort of onboard and work with a tool like virtual CRR?
Yeah, so with our tool, I've tried to make it as easy as possible for the departments. We have a home safety version, we have a wildland version that are basically turnkey and ready to go for just about every single fire department out there. Basically, I would change the logos, change the name, those types of things, but there's really not much the department has to do other than now they would begin pushing that virtual CRR program to their community. I mean, they can do that lots of ways. Obviously, social media posts, they're going to have links on their home page, as well as QR codes. A lot of departments are utilizing QR codes on the backs of their business cards, and that's the way that they're getting this message out to their public. School districts, in my opinion, is the absolute best way. If you can assign a homework or an extra credit assignment to have the child go home with their family and do the virtual CRR survey and read through those little hints that we're giving them and how they can improve their safety, that's a fantastic way to be able to get that out to the community. And I've built that for a reason. So we also have a custom version for a department that wants something that is very specific to them. They want all of their own branding. They want their own videos. They want their own links, those types of things. We do that type of work as well. But the standard versions I built specifically for every department across the country so that they can very cheaply, most departments can get in for an English version under $1,000 a year. So even for like our volunteer departments that funding we know is an issue, with one pancake breakfast, typically they're able to fund this. And that's really what I was looking for.
So then once you, so department onboards, they do this and they get these different templated surveys that you've helped build to help understand the problems. Once you identify you have or don't have, let's assume that you, let's say you do have certain problems, how do you know what kind of different tools in the toolbox to implement to start actually getting that community support, to start, you know, whether it's getting these educational tools, like how do you mobilize and put CRR into action?
That's awesome. So along with the virtual CRR program itself, that survey, and then they get that report that helps them to do it, I'm collecting all the data on the back end. And data is what we have to be able to do in order to better understand our community. So all of that data that's being collected, the department now has access to. It's part of the service. There's no upcharges, anything like that, so that they can better understand and they can continue tweaking their community risk assessment. Remember, we talked about that community risk assessment at the very beginning. That is an ongoing process. So all of that data, it's put into tables, it's put into graphs, and it's put into maps. We're an ESRI partner. We're very proud of that we work with ESRI, and all of the data that is collected pulls directly into your ESRI layers. So if you have GIS folks at your department, they'll be able to go through that information as well.
And then from a geospatial perspective, you know, being able to map that out and understanding certain risk perspectives, I'd love to kind of even go deeper in the weeds here about some like tangible things, let's say from a wildfire perspective. Obviously that it's not necessarily, we're not going to stop wildfire, but we can live with wildfire more effectively. And you hear a lot about this within the West Coast and in terms of defensible space and, you know, different things that homeowners can do, communities could do, and kind of just speaking generally about what are some, maybe some proven practices, some best practices that homeowners can do from a CRR perspective to be proactive, to do their part from a wildfire perspective.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the home hardening side of it is the biggest that they need to look at, as in conjunction with keeping that vegetation away from their house. There's lots of different programs out there, whether it be FireWise or the Cal Fire program, Ready, Set, Go, that really look at all those steps. And those are the things that I include in the virtual CR program so that they can do that. But I'd like to also hit on the departments themselves, because we all know that none of us have the resources to be able to effectively get out to every single home, effectively get to every single business. And we have to rely on technology that is GIS based so that we can take a look at those maps and we can see where are the largest hazards within our city. And the information that's collected enhances those GIS maps so that we can understand our community better, because we can't do this alone. You know, we don't have enough inspectors, we don't have enough firefighters, we don't have enough chiefs, we don't have enough Indians, whatever you want to call it, we don't have enough of it. So we have to utilize technology to make up those gaps.
So this is maybe just a curveball, but going back to your origins, why did you start virtual CRR?
So that's a great question, because I've never worked on the prevention side of the house. I've always been in the operations side. And typically your operations guys, all we want to do is we want to go on calls, we want to solve people's problems, and then we're going to move on to the next problem. I had multiple things. The biggest thing for me that changed my mind about how that process works is I had a near drowning with my son. My son was 3 years old. I had to do CPR on him. Fortunately, everything is fine with him, but had I not been there and I had not had the tools that I know how to do CPR, then that story would have probably been different, because it took, you know, the typical 3 to 5 minutes for my local fire department to get there so that they could intervene and take over for me. So that was the first thing in my head that said, hey, I don't want a parent to ever have to do CPR on their kid again. And if they do have to do CPR, I want them to know how to do it right. So that was my first step into the community reduction world and looking at how can we get ahead of the call? How can we prevent that call from coming in the first place? Or how can we set that call up before we get there so that we have a good outcome after the fact?
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, it's one of those things I was looking at. I was hearing Chief Brian Norris from San Antonio talk about their new dispatch program in terms of being able to kind of have real-time video messaging, but being able to kind of educate people, whether they're the patient that's in distress has either had a heart attack or a stroke, and being a kind of over the phone, educating these people on what to do. And of course, that's great real time. But when disaster strikes and something goes wrong, we all become immediate responders. We all need to know these little things. And when I think about CRR, it is a lot of education. What are ways that we can better find these gaps of what are some of the larger risk, and then allow everyone in the community to do their part and do that through some different educational programs so they're prepared for when something terrible or tragic may happen.
So Kevin, let me jump in because I think that's a perfect example of what a community risk reduction activity is. We're looking at enhancing the services that we're giving through the dispatch to be able to get things rolling before the fire department even gets there. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about with community risk reduction. It's not just education. It's utilizing all of the tools in the toolbox to be able to reduce the risk to that community. And that is a perfect example through dispatch of how we can do that. You know, there's lots of other ways as well that we've already discussed, and there's going to be people that are going to be brilliant and come up with other ways in the future. But I just wanted to point out that absolutely is community risk reduction. That's why I look at community risk reduction as really, it's the fire chief's mantra, or should be the fire chief's job, not just, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, within the fire service, we pin community risk reduction just on fire prevention or just on public education, when in reality, it's everything that we do within the fire service.
Yeah. So it's August 2023. What are you excited about in regards to where CRR is now and ultimately where it's going?
What I'm excited about is it really seems like we're turning the corner. Fire chiefs are paying much bigger attention. Fire chiefs are accepting the challenge and really looking at community risk reduction as a responsibility of theirs and not just something that they pass along to somebody else. And that's exciting for me because when we have that vision at the top of what it could be, that's where we really start to see things moving.
Well said, Brent. And then kind of generally here at FRI with the IFC, what are you excited about this show? You know, the show hasn't even started yet, but anything that you're looking for or something that you're kind of excited about here, we're sitting here in the tech zone. There's a lot of other kind of saying startups and there's a lot of new tech here, but anything that kind of catches your eye or that you're looking for here?
So the tech zone itself, I think, is a huge step. Just for the fact that we have one area set aside for all the new emerging technologies so that all the attendees can go to one place geographically on the showroom floor so that they can find the things that they need and they can literally walk from table to table and compare services and they can really find the group that is most like them and they'll be able to go back and forth and ask questions. The cool thing about this area is we all know each other. All of these vendors, we all know each other, we know each other's services and we actually get along very, very well, especially the Esri group and obviously the tech zone is sponsored by Esri. So there's a lot of Esri partners within this area. All of us work together very well. So that's the main thing I'm excited about is we actually have a geographic area that all of the people can come to and get the answers, questions answered that they need.
Yeah. Well, I'm fired up for the week ahead. And Brent, really appreciate everything you're doing with Virtual CRR. And you heard it here. If you want to talk to me, the risk reduction, Brent Faulkner is your guy. So Brent, thank you very much. And until next time.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast today. If you enjoyed what you heard and got any value, please drop us a rating, leave us a comment, or reach out to us on social media. Have a great day, and together we can advance the future of smart firefighting.